Welcome to Hype, episode 33. Welcome to everybody joining us on our live stream. I should probably tweet again to let everybody know that it's live. This week, we have Merima, Mikal, and Selena.
Hello.
Hi.
It's a lady, Josh.
It is a lady show. I like to think I'm a lady sometimes.
Be an honorary lady, if you like.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I once dressed as Edna from Hairspray.
I know,
so that's practically.
And 1 year as Kate something from John and Kate, the TLC reality show that aired here in America. So.
Oh.
Mikal, do you remember that show?
Oh, yes.
I didn't have that reference either.
I have no idea what it is.
Me either.
It was a really good show, in my opinion. But there was divorce drama, and then it was just over.
Oh, wow. It's like real life?
Yeah.
Television. Crazy.
Anyway.
Real life infringed on the reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was horrible. I was very upset. Anyway, we have a good show for everybody today. I want to say a happy new term at Hogwarts. Of course, now it's September 4th. September 1st just passed. We actually worked out nicely because Labor Day was on September 1st here in the United States, so it was a slow news day. So we're like, well, let's put up a bunch of Harry Potter content. Why not? So we did a lot, Merima. What are some of the things that we did on September 1st?
We did lots and lots of things. We started another series of Harry Potter quizzes like we did for Doctor Who, which are super hard and will make you feel really bad about yourself.
That's so, what we love.
Have fun
do.
With those. Right. I feel like the people who are commenting on them are only the people that do well, because no one's commenting being like, oh, I only got 3 out of 10, which is what I've been getting, so I've just given up at this point.
I've seen comments saying they're hard, so...
Yeah, Harry does a tricky quiz. It's good. It tests your memory. So we've got quizzes going out for every one of the Harry Potter books, including the supplementary ones, through the next couple weeks. We also started off our Revisited Review series, which is something new we're going to be doing on Hyperball, when we take a significant piece of media, like a book or a movie or a TV show, and go back and review it a few years, or in this case, I reviewed the Philosopher's Stone book 16 years after I had read it for the first time. So we have the review for that. And yeah, I was 7. Now I'm super old. And Louis wrote a really great review for the Philosopher's Stone / Sorcerer's Stone film, a little controversial about, you know, what we called it. We had, like, all right, guys, it came out a long time ago. I feel like we've accepted the fact that it has a different title in America. What else do we have?
Oh, we had our Harry Potter fans. We never get over this stuff.
Yeah, people were a little mad that we called it Sorcerer's Stone in the headline, but that's because Louis's from the States, so yeah,
right.
That's what he called it.
Yeah.
We had a cool article from a Hyperball reader about the Harry Potter universe and how the franchise could expand after the Fantastic Beasts trilogy, so sort of looking ahead. And then we had... like probably the most beautiful article we have ever published on Hyperball from Selena Wilkin, a love letter to Hogwarts, which is just like, you will cry and you're welcome for that. We
welcome.
Like to depress you on Hyperball, and it was so beautiful. So
yeah.
I think it definitely summed up a lot of fans' feelings about Harry Potter and Hogwarts and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. There
lots
was one comment
on.
That was really cool, which said that basically they just need to do a real-life Hogwarts and just put it somewhere and just make it real, and it's like, why have they not done this yet? That's what I think J.K. Rowling should do next, just get a shovel and start building.
Right. I hear she's got a lot of free time, so definitely.
Yeah.
What else is she going to do?
Well, I feel like Universal, if they were to build a Harry Potter themed hotel, I think Hogwarts would be.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh my god!
Yes.
You have 4 wings: Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, and they're all themed. It's perfect, I think.
And if you work there, you're dressed up like a house elf.
Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't hired you as their publicity guy yet, Andrew.
Oh well, I've only had 2 good ideas: that and Dumbledore's Falling Tower of Terror.
They're really.
Oh my god!
That's a little.
Too soon, Andrew.
Still? Okay. Well, maybe expansion number 8, they can add that.
It's funny. I'd go on that.
I've got my platform 9 3/4 hat this morning, representing it. I didn't know that this hat existed until I went for the Diagon Alley expansion. And then the day after I get back here to the town that I live in, I'm walking up to my gym, and I see somebody in the courtyard wearing one of these hats. I'm like, this is one of my favorite hats. I didn't know it existed until now. And then I see somebody wearing it in public. It was really weird. Anyway, speaking of...
You must be such a trendsetter.
Yes, that's definitely what it was. Mm-hmm. So in related Harry Potter news, we actually found out right after we recorded our last episode... So who knows what we'll find out after recording this episode, that David Yates is going to direct Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. He, of course, was the director of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince, Deathly Hallows Part 1, and Deathly Hallows Part 2. So it's interesting. Now, this hasn't been officially announced by Warner Brothers yet, but according to Variety, he is in talks, and it makes perfect sense because... we already have David Heyman, the Harry Potter series producer, returning for Fantastic Beasts. Obviously, we have J.K. Rowling. Presumably, we're going to have people like Stuart Craig, the set designer, returning. So I wrote up this what people call a think piece, that they are just setting this up so Fantastic Beasts is going to be too big to fail. If David Heyman maybe just, you know, doesn't do it like you did with Harry Potter, that's okay, because you've got J.K. Rowling and David Yates. You know, if David Yates is kind of sucking, that's okay, because you've got David Heyman and J.K. Rowling. Like, and J.K. Rowling won't suck. We won't even enter that idea into the conversation.
So,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, is it my, like, am I making this up, or did they announce that it's going to be split in two?
No, I think you're making
it up. Do you think they're going to? Because I do.
It's a trilogy.
It is a trilogy.
Oh, is it? Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, didn't you? It's been split in three.
Oh, wow.
Warner Brothers hasn't explicitly said that yet. I think they're waiting to see how it pans out. But the New York Times reported that it is a planned trilogy. And last month, they set two WB event films for the same day of the year, November 2018 and November 2020 for these two mystery WB event movies, which it's the same date as Fantastic Beasts 1 in November 2016, so presumably that's Fantastic Beasts 2 and 3. So what do you guys think of David Yates? Did you guys like him as a director? There's been a very mixed reaction from the fandom.
Selena, nope. I don't. I know me and Merrima probably. Maybe Mikhail should.
Mikhail
speak
hasn't
this.
Seen the Harry Potter
films. I haven't
films,
seen them. So. I'm really. I'm too pure. I saw the first one and I left crying and I was like, never again.
Wow.
I kind of like that. Like I know we've written about this before in Hyperbole, but I think he's gonna do a fine. I mean, it's gonna be a good movie. We know this, but I'm not a fan of the way he's brought the magic to life personally. So.
Cool.
We'll see.
Yeah, I would agree with Selena. I think I'm also still sad that we're not getting Alfonso Cuarón because I basically broke the caps lock key on my computer when I thought that was going to happen. David Yates, objectively, he's fine. I just, like, similarly to Selena, I don't really like his take on it. Just was a little dull for me. It didn't have the, dare I say, magic.
The magic.
And also, like, I don't really... I suppose I would quite like to see a new take on Harry Potter rather than... Like, the Harry Potter series really ended up being David Yates' vision of it because he did the majority of the storytelling. And, you know, that's kind of why I like the idea of having Alfonso, because there was a continuation, but it would be something new because we'd only seen one film from him. Mm-hmm. But we've seen four films from David Yates, so, like, I'm kind of done with David Yates' take on Harry Potter. Like, I would prefer to see someone else. And I feel like he would be done with it as well. Like, why isn't he sick of it at this point?
That's what I thought.
Michal, are you going to watch it, the new one?
Yes, I am, because it's not based on anything, so it's, like, a new story. It's not going to be screwed up or affect my vision of anything. That is the vision. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, but I also, not really knowing anything about David Yates and having seen Gravity fairly recently, I was like, oh, my God, Alfonso Cuarón, the vision, like, you know, and, like... I saw him last year at Comic-Con talking about, like, his director style or whatever, and he just sounds like such an interesting guy. And I know that people apparently have mixed thoughts on his take on on Prisoner of Azkaban, but apparently it had a lot of character for whatever you're going to say. And I thought that would have been really interesting and really fun to see, but
yeah, people credited Alfonso with kind of growing up the series, because the first two were directed by Chris Columbus, and it felt a little childish. And then once you entered Prisoner of Azkaban, the wardrobes were different, there were some interesting characters like the shrunken zombie head that he brought in. You know,
sure, they should make a return. They're a magical creature.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, well, you did in a theme park.
Yeah.
I just think nobody's going to be on... the whole fandom is not going to get collectively behind one director, and I think David Yates may be the best choice.
He's a safe choice.
Yeah, I mean,
he's going to do good, and people are going to go to the cinema, and he's not super different. Like, you know, Alfonso really split the fandom. You know, I thought it was too silly, personally, the movie for me. But when I first watched it, I liked it. But a lot of people, like you, Merrima, like, you loved it, but I think... Yates, we know what we're going to get, and we are going to go see it, so it's the best choice they could have made.
Part of me thinks, though, can you blame David Yates for the things that you didn't like about the final four movies? I mean, we got to put some blame on the screenwriter, and we got to put some blame on the producer.
A lot of blame is on the producer. Like,
don't worry.
A lot of the blame. Don't worry about that. No, I seriously think...
one of those dark
blame lists.
I really do agree with what Selena said at the start, though. It's just the way that he chose to bring the magic to life, and that really is a director's choice. Like, it was the directing choices that I had issues with a lot of the things in the Harry Potter films. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not just David Yates. But then, you know, like what you were saying, it's too big to fail. I mean, they've got Heyman on board. They're definitely going to have Stuart Craig, I think we can assume. You know, they're going to bring back a lot of the creatives team. So for me, I would have been more interested for them to use that framework of, like, the established people who knew what they were doing. They're involved in the franchise. They're involved in the world. And then bring in a fresh take for the director, for something new, just something different. Because, like, even if I really love David Yates, I think I would still feel that way because he's done half the series.
And we know exactly what his magic looks like.
Yeah, I don't want him to do another three films.
Well, my hope is once David Yates sets this up and he gives us a good story, then Warner Brothers is going to say, okay, now let's get creative. Let's hire different directors who can carry what Yates started but put their own unique touch on it. Because if David Yates did all three, that would not be fun.
But I think switching director is problematic as well, because so many fans didn't like Alfonso, and I would say Mike Newell, and even Order of the Phoenix, just because of the differences. Like, because they get whiplash in between. So if they obviously like Yates, and if the first film does well, I would not be surprised if they asked him to do the whole thing, which makes me sad.
Which I guess would also make sense when you keep in mind that Peter Jackson has done all three Hobbit films. Obviously, he did three Lord of the Rings films as well, so...
Yeah, and let's look at that as an example.
I feel because this is more like a Hunger Games type thing, you know, where they might... Like, I don't think there's a huge tonal shift between, you know, Hunger Games and Catching Fire. I think there's, like, maybe, like, subtle differences and less shaky cam and all of that, but I think that, you know, you still have the same kind of imprint on it, and if they decide to do something like this, also because we're not previously invested in the story, which is why I'm, like, so fascinated by how this is going to play out in a fandom sense, because it's not like we can say, they got that wrong. It's like, no, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they switch directors, there's just less writing on it.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's maybe all we have to say about it for now. We're waiting for Warner Brothers to make an official announcement about it. It's been 2 weeks, so hopefully we'll hear something soon. And then once the director's named, then we can start moving into casting. So that'll be fun. The big question is, who's going to play Newt Scamander? But the other big question is, who the hell is Newt Scamander?
Yeah. Also, are there any other characters in this film? And what is the plot?
I just see this old guy traveling alone with three magical pets just in the world. That's what I imagine. Like Pokemon style.
Oh. You know,
one of my favorite articles to Fantastic Beasts is the what characters can we see return from the Harry Potter world. I'm trying to look it up on the fly right now. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, next week is actually the 1 year anniversary of when we found out about this whole thing. This was by Kristen last September. She came up with this article. Some of the other characters that could potentially be returning, because it's set in the 1920s, and we know these characters existed back then. Dumbledore, Ollivander, Bathilda Bagshot, Auntie Myrtle, and Professor Binns. So those were five.
Oh, that would actually be really funny.
Yeah. But it's really interesting because it's like, okay, so these people could potentially return. And I think, like I said, looking back on this, how can we play this safe to make sure it's a hit, I think they're going to want to bring back a character or two somehow to wiggle them in. So there's a familiarity between these stories in some sense.
Yeah, or maybe they'll just do like... Well, maybe that would do the Hobbit thing where it starts off with Frodo being like, oh, like, let me read this story, and then, like, flashback. So it'll be Harry being like, Albus Severus, I gave you a terrible name, and now listen to my weird story from my school textbook, and then it will, like, go into
Or it'll be, like, the remaining Weasley twin, probably.
Well, you just, I just know that the first trailer is going to be like, from the director of the Harry Potter film.
Before Harry Potter, there was Newt.
Yeah. That's perfect.
And the producer of the Harry Potter films and the author of the Harry Potter books and the set designer.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's probably going to be like, Harry Potter's Fantastic Beasts and Where Find.
Oh, yeah. I would be surprised if they didn't put it in there.
Oh, they have to.
I hope they don't.
They include Dumbledore. I think it'll be fun.
Maybe Ollivander, but like not.
Oh yeah.
Because that's like part of the world, you know. But Dumbledore is like a character, we know about him. He has his own story. I'm like not interested in seeing that like muddled up in this. Like I'm interested in Newt and seeing what that is like. You know, elements from the magical world are one thing, but like just being like, hey guys, this is Dumbledore and this is what he looked like before he had the beard, and it's really a long time ago.
Like Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
So, in theory, finally put out.
By the way, Michael Gambon is in that Casual Vacancy miniseries, which is Casual Vacancy miniseries based on the book by J.K. Rowling. So maybe he's just killing time before Fantastic Beasts with another J.K. Rowling.
If he did this one, he would only have to read a book that's like this big, not like seven giant books. So that's already a bonus for him.
By the way, people who are in the live chat, you can feel free to ask us questions while we're broadcasting, even though we're about
to... They don't have to be about Harry Potter.
No, they don't have to be about Harry Potter. Hey, we're about to move on from Harry Potter, so if you want to ask a question or share a comment about Fantastic Beasts, you can feel free to do so, even though we're moving on. So, let's talk first about How to Train Your Dragon 3. I just wanted to mention really briefly that it's been moved to 2017. It was supposed to come out 2016. Of course, the sequel came out earlier this year. It did okay. It didn't do as well.
It was so good. It was much better than the first one, I thought.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I really liked it. It was so beautiful as well. The art was just wow.
I liked it less.
I loved it.
I thought they were on par with each other. But people just didn't seem too excited about the second one. I don't know if it was a marketing thing or what. So now the sequel is being pushed back a year. I feel like they may be working on the story a little bit.
How much older does he get in the sequel? Is it like his midlife crisis or something?
Yeah, probably.
Number three. I don't know. We don't know yet. But it's going to complete... In movies 1 and 2, you kind of see building towards Hiccup becoming the leader of this realm.
The chief, thank you.
Dragon chief. And so in the third film, I think that'll be fully played out. So we'll see if it time jumps. Everybody did like the time jump between movies 1 and 2.
Because he was such a babe.
Because he's hot now.
Yeah.
So let's see how much hotter, fingers crossed, it gets hotter in number 3. But before then, we all have a new Frozen short film to look forward to. Of course, Frozen was the hit movie of 2013 and really 2014, top animated grossing film of all time. So of course Disney is doing a short film. This is called, very, very appropriately, Frozen Fever. It's going to have Olaf, Anna, Elsa, and Kristoff returning, and, most excitedly, there's going to be a new song. Hooray!
Yay!
Wow.
Do you want to build more snowmen? Now, the same directors who directed Frozen are going to be returning, and same songwriters, too. So, hopefully it's just as good as the film. I don't know. Are you guys excited about Frozen Fever?
Not especially, but I don't hate it. I feel like
directed by David Yates.
Yeah, because then, but I feel like Frozen didn't have the saturation internationally that it had that makes everyone in America hate it now.
Yeah.
So like, you guys all really hate it, and in Australia, it was like, yeah, smooth.
Do you not have children? Because a lot of the saturation.
Do I not have children? No, I don't.
No, no,
have
do you
children.
Not have children in Australia who are walking around singing "Let It Go" all the time?
No, we don't.
Because that's an actual cultural phenomenon here.
Yeah. We don't. I mean, people aren't really into Frozen here at all. Like, the kids, yeah. No one. Maybe it didn't
came out.
Like,
people,
well.
People liked it when it came out and then forgot about it when it left cinema.
Yeah, kids here are definitely still singing the songs, aren't they? Maybe because, like, the merchandising and all that is still going on here, so the kids are reminded about it here more often.
Also, as a culture, you guys are obsessed with Disney, so that helped.
Yeah, and in Denmark, we dub all our cartoons, so maybe, like, the song just isn't that good in Danish.
Oh, my God.
Like, the kids
I
don't
need to see that
understand.
YouTube.
What is the song in Danish? Can you say
I don't
first?
Know.
Do you know it?
What's Let It Go? How does it go in Danish?
I don't know. Let it go. I don't know.
That's why the kids aren't
probably not
it.
Direct translation.
The pressure's on now.
So that's what's happening with Frozen. This is, of course, in addition to the Frozen Broadway musical that's in development, the Disney On Ice show, the children's books that are premiering next year, and of course, there will be a Frozen 2, a feature length. I want to see Disney piss off all the parents in America and put this Frozen short film in a theater.
Oh,
and
God.
And like attach it to Frozen, the full like thing film. Like, so you'd watch it at the end or at the beginning or something like that. That would be cruel.
There would be riots. There would actually be parental riots.
There would be.
Why haven't they done Frozen on Ice yet? That's just like the best pun.
It's gonna happen, right?
They are.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
It's happening, yep.
That's actually pretty smart.
I was so stressed that someone had missed that opportunity.
Yeah, they are. Disney on Ice is a long-running program, and so yeah, they actually our friends at Inside the Magic was just at a preview night for Frozen on Ice last night. So check out their site if you can't wait, because it premieres in Orlando later.
I can't wait.
Wow, I'm counting down the days.
Here's a question from McFly Love Me. She writes, do you think the plot of the new Frozen short film will clash with the plot line on Once Upon a Time?
Should that matter? That's a really good question.
Well,
isn't Once Upon a Time like a sphere of its own? Like, the storylines don't actually match with...
I think the Frozen short film is going to be a self-contained story, because the synopsis, I should have read it, it says, in Frozen Fever, it's Anna's birthday, and Elsa and Kristoff are determined to give her the best celebration ever, but Elsa's icy powers may put more than just the party at risk. So.
Ooh,
so,
darn it, Elsa.
Not again.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Keep your gloves on. Come on. Keep those powers contained. It looks like I think the short film is going to be a self-contained product that is not going to interfere with Once Upon a Time. Now, I'm curious. I feel like whatever happens in Once Upon a Time may potentially clash with a Frozen 2.
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah. I think they're alternate realities. Like, I don't think it. I mean, I don't think it's for the same audience either. Necessarily, maybe I'm wrong about that. But
I thought it was like a kind of parallel universe where all the characters existed together. It was just because they owned the rights to them.
And
all.
Also, like, they're live action. So
yeah. So that's it. Yeah, that's a conflict.
What is happening in Once Upon a Time with Frozen? By the way, do we know yet? I mean, we know the promos.
Elsa walked down a street. And it froze.
Yeah,
and
right.
People wear parkas. I've seen that on Twitter.
Yep.
Okay, so that's all we know about it. Do we know any plot?
Yeah, that cute guy that was in Greek is Kristoff.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was
that's
really excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
I miss Greek.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
So moving on to some Mockingjay news. Another week, more promotional posters. We have received so many promotional posters for this film already, and we still have 2.5 months to go until this movie's out. But not one of them is Katniss yet, so they're holding the carrot in front of our faces. We got Rebel Warrior posters. These depict actually several first looks at the fighters that you'll be seeing in Mockingjay Part 1. They include Boggs, Castor, Pollux, Cressida, is that how you pronounce her name?
Cressida.
Cressida. Banana.
My spirit's Cressida.
Who cares? It's Cressida. Natalie Dormer.
Yeah.
Natalie Dormer with a shaved head.
I know.
A half-shaved head.
Yeah.
Masala and Gale, of course. And Gale wielding a bow and arrow, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
They're all standing in front of the Mockingjay emblem. So, like, when you kind of look at these from a distance, it almost looks like they're all wearing the Mockingjay wings, but they're not. So, nobody worry.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. I'm going to try sharing this on Google Hangout. How does this work?
Hmm.
Showcase.
They're so pretty. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I like them because of my huge crush on Natalie Dormer, like, as a human being. But aside from that, I also have a huge crush on all the Mockingjay publicity, but aside from that, I just think they're really good posters.
Yeah.
They are
even
really
I know
good
a lot
posters.
Of people like, couldn't remember who these characters were.
Yeah.
No, I mean, some of them, most of them we haven't really seen before. So
I think
it's
we're going to have to write up a little refresher guide before the movie comes out. Because when these casting editions were being announced, I would put a character bio in with each of them. And people, I repeatedly got comments from people saying, thank you for reminding us who these people are, because we completely forgot.
Yeah, let's face it, most of us have only read the last book once.
Excuse me. I'm a big Hunger Games fan.
So I love Hunger Games.
I struggled
not
through
a big
Mockingjay.
Mockingjay fan.
I struggled through Mockingjay several times.
Several,
we should
wow.
do Mockingjay quizzes, Hunger Games quizzes.
Yeah.
I might actually do okay in those.
Nicole, did you read the books?
I did. Yeah, I read the books. I loved The Hunger Games and then was really disappointed in Catching Fire because I thought it was better when it was called The Hunger Games. and then liked Mockingjay for like the first three quarters and then was like, nope.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I did really like Catching Fire, but no, Mockingjay.
Also, I'm still Team Gale, so, you know, whatever.
So you liked these posters.
They are really cool. I mean, like, it's funny to look at them with, like, zero emotional investment whatsoever. Because they look really cool. Natalie Dormer looks badass. But it does kind of bring back to me, like, oh, right, she introduced all these characters, and, like, most of them just die so she can further her agenda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so moving into some television news now. First of all, we'll talk about the big event of last week, which was the Primetime Emmys. Breaking Bad took the top drama nods. It was their final season that they could be nominated, so they got a nice farewell. And Outstanding Comedy Series went to Modern Family again.
Yay!
Which is just boring. Because
it's not even that funny.
It's boring in general. We know who's going to win almost
everything. It's like,
the Emmys are super dull.
It's like the reality TV category. It's the Amazing Race every year. So it's just like, do we have to watch this again?
Yeah.
But lead actress in a drama series went to Julianna Margulies for The Good Wife. What were some of the other big categories? Outstanding Variety Series went to The Colbert Report. Outstanding TV movie went to The Normal Heart. Sherlock actually picked up three nominations as well. Lead actor in a miniseries or movie went to Benedict Cumberbatch for Sherlock, which actually upset some people because I know our own Brittany Lovely was upset because she wanted to see Mark Ruffalo take take the award in that category for The Normal Heart. American Horror Story Coven picked up several awards. So.
And Game of Thrones got nothing.
Game of Thrones got nothing. Have they won anything yet in general?
Yeah. Dinklage won smaller things. Once. Yeah.
Mm.
I think he won Best Supporting.
Well, maybe their final season will.
The Emmys are so boring. Do the Emmy voters even watch TV? Like, it's just the same thing every single year. It's just
like, oh, I recognize
it. It really
this one.
Is phoning it in. Yeah, it really is. It's like, oh, this one won last year. Let's pick that again. You know, it's kind of like when you vote on People's Choice stuff and don't know, like, what you're voting for. You just have to get to the good ones. You know,
right? And something. I feel like so many. I didn't see anyone off like. That wasn't on Tumblr, who was like, wow, Sherlock definitely deserved to win all of those things. Like, everyone said The Normal Heart. I mean, there was a reason that, like, every single person in The Normal Heart was nominated in that supporting character in a miniseries. There was, like, four different nominations all from that. And I was like, no, Martin Freeman wins for, you know, it's just...
Mm. Arguably one of the biggest surprises was Sherlock, because nobody was expecting him to win.
Right, but I feel like that's because no one watched The Normal Heart. But they knew what Sherlock was.
Votes, I'm sure, too, you know?
Like, yeah, well, that's true.
The one good thing, I didn't put this in the rundown, but the one good thing about Sherlock winning is that we got a couple more comments about the new season. Nothing huge, but Stephen Moffat, the show creator, did say that they're planning a, quote, devastating series 4. He says, we have a plan to top it, referring to the Series 3 finale, and I actually do think our plan is devastating. We practically reduced our cast to tears by telling them the plan.
Uh-oh.
Well,
honestly, Mark, Gaddis, myself are so excited with what we've got coming up. Probably more excited than we've ever been about Sherlock. So
pretty much par for the course anytime Stephen Moffat makes a comment about women.
Yeah, exactly.
Devastating, reducing to tears,
I'm not excited about anything that makes Stephen Moffat excited. Nope.
So, Sherlock, we know, is going to be filming at the beginning of 2015 for a debut at the end of 2015, so we still have a long ways to go before that. Little Game of Thrones news, speaking of Mark Gatiss. Mikal, you can tell us how big of a deal this is or isn't. He's going to be reprising his role, Mark Gatiss, in season 5. Is that good news?
Yeah, I mean, it's news, I guess. I mean, like, he had one scene in season 4, and it was good. It was, you know, Gattis-y. I think he was a decent fit for the way they decided to play that character. It's not hugely surprising that they decided to take him, to bring him back, because he's Mark Gatiss and whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting in that they're kind of, like, threading this new... I mean, not new, it is in the books, but it also... the Iron Bank plotline is very subtle in the books. And then it kind of, like, shows up, and you're like, oh, this has been happening the whole time. So they're kind of shedding more light on that. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
I wonder if he's gonna, like... Oh, they were, like, cheering outside. Sorry. I wonder if they're gonna, like, use him... For some, like, if he as a character, because he is Mark Gatiss and he is a spectacular actor, so I wonder if he really is just in there because he's Mark Gatiss and this is a character that needs to be on screen, or if they're going to develop his character in any way, you know, because he is just there to facilitate a plot point, you know.
Did you guys just see my cat make an epic leap? Like,
no.
No, she was in the background. Were you watching it back?
Yes. Yeah. More cats on the internet. Now we'll go viral.
Cat leaps. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And I mean, you never know, but he has such a specific role.
And he, like, just serves a purpose, you know? That's what I mean. Like,
but it, like, he has to be like the voice of the Iron Bank. Like, it's almost like there's, at least I would not expect there to be room for this guy to have, like, a family or personal interests or, you know, whatever. He's like,
that would
you know.
Be interesting, because otherwise, what's the point of him being Mark Gatiss? That's just what I mean, you know? Like, it's fine that he's coming back, is basically, but it's no big deal.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I guess we'll see.
And then somebody who is not coming back is Hodor, apparently. The actor who plays him said that he nor what's the other character? Bran will not be back.
Yeah, but I think he's wrong about the Bran thing. We've had like indications that Isaac Hempstead, right, who plays Bran, is going back. I would probably guess it's very short because let's face it, his plotline is newsworthy.
So stupid.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. Those skeletons. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh god, the skeletons were. Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's so Pirates of the Caribbean. I was so disappointed. And I don't care that they changed it. Like, I mean, it was actually somewhat similar to the book.
Yeah, they just felt like really dumb.
Yeah. Oh my god, so stupid. But. I mean, he's actually wrong. Like, they aren't 100% up to the end of the Bran plotline in the books. There is some more development that happens, actually, with Hodor, too. But I would guess it's probably going to be, like, Bran sitting on a tree and the old guy.
Right, like this.
And that's going to be Bran for the season. But, I mean, he's also wrong. I mean, nothing against Christian. Like, he's awesome and allowed to be wrong.
You're wrong.
Just happens to be factually wrong that they're not, like, doing plot lines that have finished in the books because Sansa, Sophie Turner's plotline, is completely off the rails in terms of, like, we haven't seen her in the last book, and whatever they do with her this season is going to be completely new and therefore terrifying. But, yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. It makes sense to me that they would leave off Hodor, especially because they're introducing a ton of new characters. So,
yeah, they're probably just taking a break with that storyline.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for that insight. I know nothing about it, but I know people are talking about it. There's some revival news last week that shook up 90s fans. Apparently a Full House revival may be in the works. This came from TV Guide, and apparently numerous actors are interested in coming back, including Stamos, Uncle Jesse. Now, I never watched this show. Did any of you?
Nope.
Yep. I grew up on that show. But I
tell us about it, Selena.
I was, you know, it was all the rage in Denmark.
Actually, wait, did they already watch it?
No,
they don't dub it.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it's a my generation Full House. That's all we watched, and my mom like took like parenting advice from it. It was but I'm like, as much as that show was a part of my childhood and my fellow Danes' childhood, I don't want any more. I don't want any more show revivals. I'm so over it.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
And I think this is what the Boy Meets World revival, if you will, sort of proved. I mean, even if these actors come back, the people who watched it back in the day aren't really going to be interested in it because they've changed now. They're different people, And the stories, they're not exactly the same. There are things that are different. As much as they'll probably, if this goes forward, they'll probably promise, oh, it's going to be just as great and all this. Mm. You know, I don't want to go out and say it's going to be bad, but it's not going to be the same. I don't think people are going to feel the same thing.
No, and that's what people, like, they misunderstand about the whole revival trend, is that it's great the first time you see a reunion picture. It's great the first time you hear about your favorite character's, like, future life. And then it's not great anymore because you don't want more of the same, you know? And if it's too different, then you're not going to like it. But if it's the same, you're not going to like it because it's, you know, just what you're used to seeing. So, no. We're so negative this episode.
Okay. We're critical of Hollywood.
Yeah.
We can't agree with all these decisions.
It also makes me feel really skeevy that, like, all these actors must have been like, oh my god, yes, relevance again, you know?
Yeah. It's like, is that the reason that
they're doing it? Didn't Full House have a cast of, like, 400 people or something?
It's a pretty big cast, but not that big.
I feel like every time I saw a promo photo of that, it had at least, like, 20 people in it, and they were all related to each other.
And all wearing bleached denim.
Yeah, that's kind of all I know about that show. And the Olsons. The Olsons were in it.
Yeah, I mean, are they going to act like they're in the 90s still? Because I think that would be
That would be so funny.
I mean, if this ended up on, like, ABC, which is where Full House originally aired, that would probably be significant. I mean, the problem with Girl Meets World is that it's on Disney Channel, and really it's just kids who watch that channel. so it's not a good home for them. But if this returned to ABC or if like it aired on Netflix, actually, I think Netflix would be the best home for it because these people with nostalgia would just binge watch the whole season as soon as it aired. But and like, they get it all out of their system.
Full House ended like... No, that's true. But like Full House ended with everybody being happy, everybody getting married, not like that, but you know, and like people having babies and la la la. And it's like there's no cliffhanger, there's no surprise development, there's nothing. It's not like bringing it was a sitcom. Like it didn't have a plot in that way, you know? It's like, what are you going to watch them do?
Yeah.
Walk into the same house and talk about their lives again.
Hey guys, like, no. The house is full again.
It's a full house, guys.
So, some other TV news. Another TV show has left us. That is True Blood. The series finale aired about a week and a half ago now. It was unfortunately a disappointment. I feel comfortable spoiling what happened at the end because I don't think anybody really cares at this point. Bill did die. Sookie helped kill him. It was a dramatic moment. And we flashed forward 1 year, and then we flashed forward 3 years, and we saw that Sookie now has is about to give birth and is with a man, but we don't know who she is with. And it was really disappointing because we never learned who this guy was. In interviews afterwards, we found out that the guy whose back we saw hugging Sookie was one of the lighting guys on the True Blood crew. It wasn't even like a real like character who's been on the show before. You know, they should have given us some clue who it could be, but we had no clue who this guy could have been. So now we don't know who Sookie ended up with. After all that, 7 years of drama, we never found out who Sookie ultimately ended up with. It was just a little disappointing.
That's like the biggest troll of all time.
Yeah, and they were like, well, we didn't want to introduce a new character right at the very end. But I'm thinking to myself, so don't. Introduce this new guy at the beginning of season 7 and have him have the relationship grow. It was just silly.
Not even introduce a new one. They obviously didn't even want to pay a new one because they just got some guy from the crew to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So disappointing.
It's funny.
I also, since Mikal was on, I wanted to include Legend of Korra news. The season 3 finale streamed, did not air, streamed on Nick.com a couple weeks ago. Does it look like we're going to get a fourth season, or?
We are. I mean, they had announced four books, 2012, I think. So we're heading into the final book. But season 3 was amazing. It was really, 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 really good. And Ice Remedy did the second season, which was a little disappointing. I mean, I don't think any of you guys watch it, but it's really good. We're talking about on Rewatchable Avatar The Last Airbender, which is the prequel series. So if you wanted to get in on that, you could.
Watch Rewatchable. I see the top comment on the article about the season finale is best season yet with 24 episodes. So
I don't know if I agree with that, but it was really good.
What was your bet? What do you think was the best season then?
I still think season 1 because like there were like between probably most of the episodes of season 1 I was like this. Like I couldn't focus on other things. The tension was so high and the plotting was so good. This one I was really, like the last few episodes, I was really excited to see what was coming next, but it didn't quite have that same intensity, which might just be because I just have other things on my mind. It was really good though. It was definitely like worthy of the series and very impressive the way they ended it. And yeah.
Okay. We also found out, this is a little offbeat, but I thought we should include it anyway. Sanrio, the company behind Hello Kitty, has revealed that Hello Kitty is not a cat. So this shocked everybody because we've always associated this image of Hello Kitty as a cat.
And the name.
She looks like a cat. She's got the cat name. You would think she's a cat.
She has whiskers.
He has cattiness.
It came out during a report in the Los Angeles Times when it was revealed by Christine R. Yanou, an anthropologist from the University of Hawaii, who is currently curating Hello Kitty artifacts for an upcoming Hello Kitty retrospective at the Japanese American National Museum. And found this out. So
how?
I don't know what to say.
Like,
the best thing about this is they say, Hello Kitty is not a cat. She's a cartoon character, as if, like, we didn't think it was a documentary.
Right. Like, Mickey Mouse is not a mouse.
Right.
Then again, you just, you know.
They say she is a little girl. She is a friend. So.
Okay.
She doesn't look like any little girl I've ever met, so.
Mm. Right.
But why does it, like,
does it matter?
No, like, she's just a cartoon character, you know, like, I don't know.
Peanuts, the company behind Charlie Brown, tweeted, we can confirm Snoopy is still a dog.
Thank God. Well played.
Good social media there, yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up on the calendar, I know this is a little offbeat from Hypeable too, but one of the goals that we've kind of set out with Hypeable is, we know we have an audience, a young adult audience, and people care about technology. And they use it in their lives. So we do some Apple coverage. I mean, I'm a fan, so I like covering Apple. But I also feel like it plays in well with what we're trying to do with Hypeable. I just want to put on everybody's radar that Apple is going to be announcing the iPhone 6 and the iWatch next week. And we will be covering whatever they announce. It looks like Nicole is excited for what, the iWatch or
what's
the iPhone?
iWatch?
No,
what's an iWatch?
We don't know, but we're going to find out. And we're
good.
Watch.
I was worried.
Whatever it is, people are going to spend a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
But I
need a new iPhone.
I need a new phone so badly, and I have a Droid. Andrew and I were talking about this at Comic-Con, and I was just, like, complaining about my phone. He's like, oh, it looks cool. I was like, no. You don't understand. It's terrible.
I still have the 4, not even the 4S. I'm, like, 3 years behind.
You're due for an upgrade, yeah.
I had the 3, but it broke a month ago.
Oh, that's very old.
So vintage.
Yeah. I know, right?
So the big rumor with the iPhone is it's going to have the bigger screen. I mean, it's definitely going to have the bigger screen. There's no doubt about that. As for the iWatch, it's probably going to interact with the phone in some way. You'll probably get your text message. You're like, oh, I got a text message.
That's like,
it's going to be like that
Google
thing.
Glass.
Yeah, no, it's going to be like that square clock you used to have with the little screen and all the buttons so you could write to no one.
Yeah.
But white.
I want a Tamagotchi on my iWatch.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the iWatch is going to be like the new Google Glass where you know someone is like a horrible person if they're using it.
No, I don't think so with this. I think it's going to be cool.
Andrew's going to get it. That's because Andrew's already like pre-ordered it and he doesn't even know what it is.
I'm already in line. I'm actually in line.
I have complete confidence that you will own it.
Yeah. You know, Apple's gonna. It's gonna be a big deal because it's a new product category for them. So
yeah.
They haven't introduced a new product category since the iPad, which was 2010, I believe. So
that's what I feel like silly about joking about this right now. Like, you know, like going like this and being like, "Oh my God, it's gonna be a computer on your wrist." Because when the iPad came out, I was like, "That was so stupid. Who would use that? Why do you need it? You already have a computer." I have like 2 iPads now.
Well, I genuinely think there will be a use for the iWatch. And this, I know this sounds like a first world problem, but when you have your phone in your pocket and you receive a text message, it's so much easier to just go like this to see what's going on your phone rather than pulling the phone out of your pocket. And it's not just a laziness factor.
I wonder why you thought that would sound like a silly problem.
It's not just laziness factor, though. I feel like there's use cases for it. Like, let's say you're a mother. No, hold on. Let's say you're a mother, and you're holding your child. You know, you got your newborn baby. And
as we do all the time.
Phone across the room, and you don't have a hand. What if I'm walking this dog right behind me? I got his poop in one hand, the leash in the other, the phone starts ringing.
How are you going to check your phone?
What, then you get to hold your bag of poop up to your face while you go like this?
Right. Well, no. I'm going to go like this. I'm going to keep it far away. Poop bag. Oh, so like my $400 phone.
You buy it, and I'll play with it when I visit you. Okay. How about that? It's a compromise. Well,
you should do conflicting reviews.
The thing about
that. Yeah, we will. Dueling reviews. I watch. Yeah.
Parma's is just going to be like size 87 text. It's stupid.
Yeah.
The thing about the iWatch is it probably is not going to be out this year. It's probably going to be out next year.
It's going to cost $500.
But one of the things we want to do with Hypeable and our technology coverage is try to explain to people how can this enhance your life as a young adult, maybe going through school or trying to get into the work career, a career. So anyway.
We'll help you watch more TV.
So
that's a thing we do a lot of.
Yes.
It'll help you text people in class, even though your teachers are like, please put away your cell phone.
Oh, yes. That's perfect.
I want to play Angry Birds. Perfect example.
But then, you know, in 5 years, it's going to be like, oh, my God, the screen on my iWatch is too small.
And I'm going to put, like, an iPad on your arm.
I'm like implants on our
arm. Well, the iWatch 6 will be 5 inches diagonal. So, also on the calendar, that's September 9th, iPhone and iWatch. Coming up, we now have the Downton Abbey Series 5, meaning UK, debut. It's going to kick off September 21st in the UK, so it's only a couple weeks away. They also released a trailer along with the release date, and it looks really good. It looks really dramatic. So, I don't know if you guys watch, but it's my and my mother's favorite show.
I did watch the trailer, but I'm still 2 seasons behind, so... Oh,
okay. Yeah, I stopped when, spoiler alert, got killed off. I know that's so cliche, but I was just like, yeah.
I wrote, like, I don't know, like a 1,500-word recap of that episode, and I was basically like, now I'm done. I'm so done.
I feel so done with it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Well, Lady Mary.
The whole show was about Mary and Matthew's relationship. That was the whole show, and it was
But it's not the show's fault. It's not the show's fault.
No. I think the way they killed him off was stupid, but they didn't really have a choice. Hmm. But then I started watching season 4, and it was just so melodramatic. Like Lord Grantham, like staring off into the distance. What shall we do about Mary? And I was like, no.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I ran into it. But Lady Mary does have a new man, so try him. Try him out. I think he's great. Great choice. Okay, so finally on the calendar, we also got a premiere date for American Horror Story Freak Show. It's premiering October 8th at 10 p.m. on FX. So that one's still a little ways away, but a great character poster came out with all the characters in their freak show outfits. The show looks absolutely nuts, so this one's going to be crazy, I hope. And just wanted to do a couple other plugs. First of all, I went to Walt Disney Animation Studios in July to learn about Big Hero 6. I got to do some one-on-one interviews with the co-directors, the story writing team, and the producer. And it is all up on Hypeable now. Big Hero 6 is Walt Disney Animation's next film. It's their first one since Frozen. So I think they make it see a little bump just off of that alone, because it's like, oh, look, the team who brought you Frozen is now bringing you Big Hero 6. We saw about an hour of footage, and it seriously looks really good. I was so excited to see the rest of the movie after my day at Disney. So you can learn about everything that I learned on Hypeable. It is featured right now, and that film comes out in November.
That was a great article.
Oh, really? You read it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I did.
I appreciate that.
You sound so excited.
Well, yeah.
It's like one reader.
Wow.
Yes, because you were at Disney when I was at the airport, and so I just kept getting these like nonsensical messages from you, and so I needed to like read it for the full experience, and it was you sounded very excited.
Okay.
So it was
well,
good.
The reason I said that is because when you write 3,000 words, it's very hard to like step out of it with a fresh mind and decide how good or not good the article is. So.
Well, you know I'd tell you if it was bad, so...
You would, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Louis,
I didn't read it because I'm, like, disgustingly jealous, so...
Oh.
I have no idea.
That's
what
a good excuse.
Whatever, Selena. You're just jealous too.
I am.
Because, like,
I have nothing.
I can't understand this until they dub it in Dutch.
Dutch. Yeah.
What country do you think she lives in?
I don't know. One of the Frozen ones.
Spoiler alert. Europe is not one giant country.
Yeah, it is. Totally. We all speak Dutch.
Yeah. You're like, don't tell them the secret.
It was...
I live in New York, okay? People with other languages come to me, so...
Yeah,
oh.
Very cultured over there.
Yeah.
But visiting Walt Disney Animation, that was my first time. I've been to Walt Disney Studios a lot. It's right next door to Animation, but being at Animation was super exciting. But in other big article news, Louis did a fall movie preview. He broke down 50 movies we've waited all year to see, and he's not kidding. There are some big movies here. I mean, you know, we all know about movies like Mockingjay, but there's other ones like Into the Woods. That's sneaking up on us. That's coming out Christmas. Interstellar, starring Matthew McConaughey.
That never really was released, Into the Woods.
No. Oh, God, no. Gone Girl, starring Ben Affleck. That's good. Into the Wild, yes.
If you like, look at Louis' list, though, like, I was just scrolling through it, and there is not a single movie on there so far on the first page that I've thought, like, oh, no, I don't think I'd want to see that. It's just like, oh, great, now I have to see 50 movies between now and December.
It's a really good list.
Well, yeah. How about The Maze Runner? I mean, that comes out in September.
Yeah.
Not excited about that?
I am. I'm excited about everything. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Like, it's not good. Now I have to see all 50.
Yeah.
I won't. They won't come out in Australia till like 5 years from now, so
yeah,
that's fine.
Have time.
Yeah, Louis working on a Australian version. 50 yeah. movies in 2017 that are coming out here this fall.
Perfect.
And a plug, of course, we do, this is a podcast. We're now putting all of our podcasts, the announcements, through a new Twitter account, Hypeable Podcast. It's not plural. Keep that in mind. Hypeable Podcast on Twitter. All the announcements about new episodes will now be going out through there. Mitch, who runs, who gets all the podcasts online, will be managing that account. And if you have any questions, if you have an issue about a podcast, like downloading or whatever, hit up that Twitter account. He'll help you out. So it's going to be a great place to keep all the podcast news stored. Hypeable Podcast. Twitter.com/HypeablePodcast. I just wanted to mention also, as we wrap up the show, an email this week that we got. I'll read the email. Hi, Andrew and other Hypeable staff. This message is solely inspired from listening to Hype Podcast episode 31. You were all talking about how you wished you were famous. I don't remember this discussion, and I don't think I was
on that one.
And I guess in my mind, I never thought you weren't. I was brought here by MuggleNet, listening to MuggleCast. I grew up listening to MuggleCast, these household names. Did I bring this up? But anyway, so Sammy goes on to explain that now she listens to Glee Chat and Hype and Onceable and Rewatchable, so she's totally consumed with the Hypeable Podcast. So I just want to say thanks for your email, Sammy. We really appreciate it.
And
send her a button.
What? Send her a button.
Yeah.
I'll send her a button if she follows Hypeable Podcast on Twitter. I think she's going to, judging by her listening habits.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, ladies, for being on the show this week. As always, you can go on hypeable.com to get all the news that we talk about. And who knows what's going to happen in another 2 weeks. Who knows what we will be talking about. Very exciting.
Probably something that's announced in like 2 hours' time.
Yep, 2 hours
yeah,
from now.
We're going to
be hearing that Benedict Cumberbatch is playing Newt Scamander.
No. Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston.
They're all too old.
We'll see everybody next time for episode 34. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.